Welcome to the Voices of Legacy. This is Pastor Carl E. Mitchell III. I had to put the three on there. We're honored today to have a gentleman, I don't know about a scholar. I guess he's a scholar, too. The privilege is definitely ours as we introduce our esteemed guest to this edition of the Voices of Legacy, where your legacy is being written every day that you live. Today, we are joined by a true hometown hero and a former basketball star whose impact on and off the court has been indelible and it has left a mark not only on our city, but across the globe. Mr. Terry Crosby, a Toledo native who rose to prominence as a high school basketball phenomenon, as it were. I believe it was DeVilbiss, was it?
Correct, yes.
Good to go.
DeVilbiss High School.
Amen.
Go Tigers.
Where his extraordinary talent caught the attention of sports enthusiasts and scouts alike. His stellar performance led to him playing in collegiate basketball for the University of Tennessee, as well as professional basketball, both stateside and abroad. Terry's basketball career took him to a professional level where he played both in the United States and, as I said, overseas, showcasing his skills globally. And I think he may have had a Guinness World Book of Records recording in regards to a 73-point performance?
Yes, sir, 73, correct.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So that means he's good, y'all. We welcome to the table talk of today. I think that's already copywritten. To the Voices of Legacy, rather. Mr. Terry Crosby, good morning, afternoon, or whenever you're listening to this. Mr. Terry, how are you today?
I'm doing absolutely fine this morning. And you know, first of all, I just want to say thank you to WGTE and yourself, Pastor Carl, and your work colleagues. I'm really, really excited to be here. And, you know, just to share a little bit about my story and just try to impact the world. So thank you very much for having me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And that's what we want to do. We want to share the testimonies of those that have gone before us, as well as those that are still here, to be able to impact the world. Your story, your testimony will bring not only healing, but it'll educate people. There's somebody that's aspiring to the level that you've been, or there's somebody that has a story untold that I think your story is going to encourage. And speaking to your story, you have a book coming out pretty soon.
Correct, and I'm really, really excited about it. It's been a five-year project, and, you know, it's not been an easy process. But the book is not necessarily about me. Mm-hmm. It's about my parents. It's about the village I grew up in on the west side. Uh-huh. It's about the recruitment process, choosing a particular college that I wanted to attend. Mm-hmm. It's about life. It's about mentoring. It's about my teammates. It's about communication, marriage, relationships, wow, mentoring. So there's a plethora of different things that I hope would actually change somebody's life and again, impact the world.
So you're from the West Side? West Side?
Yes, sir. Parkdale Avenue.
All right. my family had our family home. We had our family home on Glenwood.
Oh, okay.
And I was born on Palmwood. I wasn't on the west side. But nevertheless, yeah. We know about the west side.
Yes.
The old west end. We thank God for that.
Really the area of Bancroft and Upton.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that
okay.
area.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Wow. So you're a true Toledo native.
Yes. Born and raised here. I was I was born here, obviously, and I went to Nathan Hill Elementary.
Okay.
And then on to DeVilbiss High School. So, yeah. I am a true Toledo product.
So when did you start getting the growth spurt?
Well, you know, I've always been kind of tall and skinny, even in grade school. And I'm not that big, really, to be honest with you. You know, I'm 6'4". Mm-hmm. I'm getting a little older now, so I was a little bit disappointed when I went to my doctor the other day. And he said I was 6'3". You know, so
he's starting to do shrinking process.
I guess I'm shrinking a little bit.
Oh, my goodness.
But yeah, I've had a wonderful life, and so I'm just so really, really pleased to be here to share a little bit.
Well, share something about you that we don't know.
Well, there's a lot of different things, but I think the one thing that I would like to speak on is the fact that I'm an only child.
Oh, really?
And most people,
I would have never guessed.
Most people wouldn't imagine that. Just what my outgoing personality mm-hmm. and you know, how I carry myself, and you know, with that comes or came a lot of challenges. Mm-hmm. You know, in regards to growing up and not having any brothers or sisters. So if you got an argument at some point or a disagreement with somebody in your life.
No backup.
I didn't have the brothers and sisters to turn to.
Oh, no.
I had to deal with it myself. So I was quite fortunate. And one thing I will say about my parents, they taught me extremely well. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that they did instill in me was you have to work for everything that you want in life. Nobody's going to feel sorry for you. Nobody's going to give you anything. And the main thing, well, two other things, is the fact that you have to believe in yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's one thing. And the other thing that they really emphasize is that, you know, everything is kind of controlled by our almighty God.
Yes. So faith plays a part in your story.
A church boy from a very, very young age.
I got to ask, what church?
I went to a Lutheran church. I forget the name of it now. It was on Pinewood, right on the corner of Pinewood.
Oh, okay.
And it was a Lutheran church.
I think I know the church you're talking about.
Yes. It's torn down now, obviously. But that's the church that I attended. And then various other churches throughout my life.
Oh, yes. Wow. In high school, at DeVilbiss High School, what were some of the things that you remember most affectionately there?
Again, there's so many different things, but one of the first things that really comes to my mind is the fact that, yes, championships are great. We won two back-to-back Shoe Bowls, high school football championships. We had a very competitive basketball team. But behind the scenes, again, when you mention the word team, that's about how you treat each other. And we were one of the advantages that we had is that I feel that we were extremely mature at DeVilbiss for our age, you know. Yeah. And we all respected each other, okay? Mm. We all supported each other, okay? And for the most part, we hung out with each other, you know. So it was a really family type of togetherness, which I believe led to a lot of successes at DeVilbiss. So it's just the maturity level when I reflect back that as high school students, you know, we were really serious about life in general and really treating each other well. You know, for instance, in the locker room for us and the sports that we competed in, football and basketball, there was no laughing and joking. We were focused.
It was all about the business.
Yes, we were about the business. Yeah. So there wasn't a lot of chit-chat in the locker room, you know. Everybody kind of like in their own zone, you know what I mean, and just ready to go. So, you know, those are the type of things that I think with my experience of those things was a little bit different than most people. You know, had the
understood.
Experience.
Yes. So you played two sports.
Yes, I was a two-sport All-American in basketball, football.
Wow.
Recruited by over 100 D1 colleges my senior year at DeVilbiss.
So how did that attention affect you, being an only child and all that?
You know what? I think I dealt with it extremely well because at that age, for some reason, I thought that was the norm. To be recruited by so many colleges. You know, of course, you know, I was, you know, a decent athlete on the football field and the basketball court. But I think, you know, my young mind at the time didn't really realize the magnitude of, you know, all these college universities coming after me, you know, for both football and basketball.
Well, I'm pretty sure your parents were pretty proud.
They were. I mean, they were extremely proud. But again, it was kind of expected from my parents. For instance, when I was in grade school, I played for a football team called the Evansdale Colts, right? Uh-huh. And I was pretty good, I have to admit, back in the day. And the local media kind of nicknamed me Touchdown Terry, okay? Because it seemed like every time I touched the ball.
You get a touchdown.
Yeah, I like broke away for a touchdown. So me, my mom and dad would be sitting at the dinner table. Mm-hmm. And they were always the type of parents that didn't really let me know how proud they were of me. Yeah. So if I scored 3 touchdowns in one game, right, they wouldn't kind of say, oh, you had a great game today. You scored 3 touchdowns.
Go take out the garbage.
Both my mom and dad would literally say, yeah, you had a pretty good game, but and we know you scored 3 touchdowns, but what about this? Don't you think you could have scored again on this? You know, we were kind of expecting you not to score 3 touchdowns, but you could have had 6.
Oh, wow.
So they were playing these, for me, that reflecting back, that was their way or their tools to keep me humble, okay, and not let me get out of the box of thinking that I'm this and everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It sounds like raise your expectations.
It sure
above
did.
And beyond what it is that you see that you can do. Yes. There's always something more that you can accomplish.
Right, right,
that's awesome. Sounds like you had pretty good parents.
Yeah, they were beautiful, man. Absolutely. And they always taught me, son, you need to be your biggest cheerleader. Hmm. She said, your mom, they would say, your mom and dad, we're going to always support and love you and whatever you choose to do in life. But you, first and foremost, need to be your biggest cheerleader.
Believe in yourself.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. So your transition, well, that was before high school, what you were just talking about.
Yes.
Then into high school.
Correct.
And from high school to collegiate with Tennessee, was it?
Yes. University of Tennessee in Knoxville.
Correct. Oh, wow. So how was that transition?
That was very hectic. Mm-hmm. Just reflecting back, and I'm just amazed at the experiences that I've been given. Like, for instance, for several months, the Ohio State head football coach back then, Woody Hayes, Coach Hayes, and Bo Schembechler from the University of Michigan was not only at my house, like every week for a whole 2 months, but also my friend's house who lived a door away from me. Okay,
oh,
so we lived at 2012. Mr. Farley Bell lived at 2008. Hmm. And we were both highly recruited by Bo and Coach Hayes from Ohio State. So it was, again, at the time,
seemed normal.
I thought nothing of it. Like, you know, and I have to admit,
they're not going to everybody's house. Like I was.
But I have to admit, as I've gotten older, those life experiences that I've been so blessed to have, they are becoming more and more important to me.
Yes.
You know, on reflection, I would sit down and be looking at something on TV, and I'll just say, wow, you know. Do you realize that, you know, the magnitude of your experiences when you were being recruited?
Makes you appreciate it.
Yes.
More so.
And also proud, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
proud. So, and then it wasn't only Woody and Bo. There was USC coaches. I received a letter from the legendary John Wooten in the day from UCLA. Basketball and Ralph Reedout from USC. It was just
so. From all those different schools, what made you choose Tennessee?
Well, you know what? My mother had a lot to do with that because she was raised by her grandparents in Clarksville, Tennessee.
Oh.
She went to Clarksville High School. Mm-hmm. I believe Clarksville just had one high school back in the day. They probably have several more now. But she actually went to school with Wilma Rudolph, the track star.
Yeah.
And they played together on the same basketball team back in the day. And so when she started explaining to me that the difference between the South and the North, she had a lot of influence on my choice to go to University of Tennessee just because she was born and raised here. My mom didn't come back to Toledo to be with her biological mother until she was 16 years of age.
Oh, man.
So that's when she transitioned back to Toledo. And, you know, we used to always laugh and joke. She is a proud, proud Scott Bulldog graduate.
How does that work out, Mr. DeVille?
It didn't.
That's funny. So you went to Tennessee. You did all 4 years?
Yes, all 4 years.
Absolutely wonderful. And then transitioned from there to?
Well, I got drafted in the National Basketball Association for the Kansas City Kings.
And okay.
I played a low ball for them. And then, unfortunately, at the time, due to political reasons, I got released from the team.
And then you went international?
No, I actually came back here and worked a little while.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Some good friends of mine, Mike Carter, their journeyman, Mr. Mike Carter and Robert Bean, they got me an excellent job at Fermi 2 nuclear site.
Oh, wow.
Up in Newport, Michigan. And check this out, as a quality control inspector. So I knew nothing about nothing, right?
You were the Homer Simpson of the bunch. Don't!
And I think even back then. And
that's an awesome story.
I'm talking of the 80s, 81s, wow. Right? $42 an hour.
Wow.
$42 an hour. And I was a little jealous of Mike and Robert Bean because they had been journeymen for, I don't know, 25 years at the time. And they were earning like maybe $160 an hour. Wow. So I was like, well, why is it that I'm earning $42 an hour and you guys are earning like $160? But it was a great experience. And again, you know, I know for a fact that I was offered that job just because of my background.
Yeah.
Just because of the fact that they knew me. Mm-hmm. They knew I went to the University of Tennessee. They knew I was a great athlete. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that kind of got me in the door because I knew nothing about quality control inspection.
Well, thank God we all survived that experience. So you did that for how long and then went to international basketball?
Yes. So how that happened was I was there for about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Really settled in here. You know, I didn't really like to travel from Toledo to Newport every day or every morning. But it was strange. I got a call from a guy called Mr. Craig Lynch.
Oh.
He was a star high school. I mean, he was a superstar in high school. I mean, basketball.
Yeah.
Very, very good. In fact, he was a star high school leading scorer for many years before Mr. Anthony Henderson Jr. broke his record recently.
Wow.
And he just called me out of the blue on the phone and said, hey, this is Craig Lynch. I was like, Craig, how you doing, man? You know, he said, I've been a player coach now over in England for 6 years. And I see that you may be available. I would like for you to come over here and play with me. Not for me, but with me, because Craig at the time was still playing, but he was a coach as well. So he was a player coach. And we had negotiations. And it's funny, you know, sometimes how naive Americans are.
Oh, yeah.
Especially.
Have you ever been overseas before?
No. Especially in the 80s.
Yeah.
So one of the questions that I asked him was, so England, is that where their main transportation is horse and buggy?
And the answer was?
his answer was, let me think about if I actually want to bring you over to England.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
He's like, no, Mr. Crosby, no, we have cars over here, you know, type of thing. So, yeah, it was so funny. So, yeah, that was my first experience of going to Manchester, England.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to still be relatively in pretty good shape if you only did 6 months there at the nuclear.
Oh, I was in great shape.
Yeah.
I was in
So you could still play.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was because of what at the time, my mental thoughts were you have to stay in shape because the NBA team's going to call you.
Yeah.
Okay. eventually they're going to call you and you need to be ready.
Yes.
You know, so I had that kind of mentality at the time.
That's good.
Yep.
Awesome. So your experience in England, I guess this is almost like another book. How was that? That had to be one heck of a transition. You've never been abroad before?
It was absolutely tough. I mean, it really was. It really was. And, you know, a lot of times, even to the present day, people think that the USA and England is very much the same based on us speaking the same language.
Yes.
Okay. But other than that, it's a whole different world.
Oh,
it's a whole different universe. And, you know, fortunately for me, I've been always kind of mentally tough and determined. You know, when I got there, it was tough. You know, the people are different. The food's different. They drive on the other side of the road. The steering wheel is on the other side of the car, right? And so this is hilarious. My first year there, obviously part of the contract was they would supply me with a little get-around car. Nothing, you know, fancy.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I wrecked like four cars.
Oh, my goodness. No more cars for you.
So eventually, before the season was over, that is exactly what was related to me. Crosby, we cannot give you another car type of thing. But, yeah, it was different. It was tough. And, you know, I mentioned, well, I have a chapter on my international experience in my book. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just put it out there. You know, if you're thinking about going abroad to play, then more so than the physical aspect of being good enough, it's more so the mental thing.
Yeah.
The mental toughness.
Because you needed that focus that you were talking about back in high school
and
from home to actually get along there, I'm sure.
Yes, I did. I did. You know, and I always base my entire life around the things that I was taught as a child.
Yeah.
Because it's carried me so far in my life. It really has.
I got to ask, did your mom want you to go?
Yeah, she was ready for me to go.
Because
I was getting on her nerves.
Yeah, okay.
She was, you know. And being home in Toledo, it's not always good.
No.
You know what I mean? Just because of the certain things that are happening in our neighborhoods and our communities.
Yeah, to blend in, you kind of have to devalue yourself sometimes.
Right.
At least mentally.
Right.
You don't necessarily have to do that. But when you have that type of attention, I could see where that could be an issue or a concern. So all that led back to you getting involved in the community here. How did you get from all of that right back to Toledo?
Well, that's, again, let me mention this again, as an only child. I was over in Great Britain with my family because I have a beautiful son and daughter over there that are very, very successful. Leondale Crosby is my son. I think he's 33 now.
Oh, okay.
And Ebony Marie Crosby, she's 24.
Oh, wow.
So I was in a 22-year marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, relationship. We weren't married. Mm-hmm. And we had two kids together.
Oh, wow.
And so I came over here in 2012 just to check on my mom because my friends were calling me saying, T, you got to come home, man. I know you got family there. Your mother's not doing well. She's really sick. And bear in mind, I'm the only child.
Yeah.
Okay. So I made the family decision to come over to check on her. I was here for 2 weeks on a visit. And I came because I wanted to see, you know, how sick she was.
Mm-hmm.
And during that span of 2 weeks, I realized that, yes, she was very sick. So I went back to Great Britain and we sat around the dinner table and I was like, look, I got to go back and take care of my mom. You know, after 22 years of you know, family life with my beautiful family in Great Britain.
Wow. And so your wife's from there?
Yes, she's British.
The mother of you? Okay.
Yeah, she's British. She's British. Mm-hmm. And so they were kind enough and thoughtful enough to say, okay, you know, you got to, you have to do what you have to do.
Wow.
So, you know, 1 month I was here, checking on my mom. I flew back to Great Britain, and then like 2 months later after that, I came back to look after her.
Well, that's a heck of a sacrifice, but it's mom, and you only get one.
You only get one.
Wow.
And I will say, in all honesty, and you know, this is sincere from my heart, if I had to make that same decision again, mm-hmm. I mean, it was a tough decision.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what father wants to leave their kids, you know, or their partner, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But that's my mama.
Yeah.
So that's the, and with me being the only child too,
yeah,
it's not like I could turn to brothers and sisters to take up the slack or whatever. So
you're all she has.
Yep.
Well,
and we were very close. We were extremely close. So that's how I came.
When did your mom pass?
2012.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. November 17th, 2012.
Well, and you've been here ever since?
Been here ever since. And I haven't, and I'm a little disappointed about this, I haven't been back to Great Britain since 2012.
Oh, my goodness.
But my children have been over here.
Oh, good. Good, 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 good.
So I've seen, and no, it wasn't. It was last summer, I believe. Mm-hmm. I have three children, mm-hmm. okay? I have an older daughter that lives in Columbus. We had a great time. All three of my kids was here with their father.
And grandkids?
Yeah, I have grandkids. I have five grandkids and four great-grands.
What? Oh, my goodness. That's awesome. That's awesome.
So the legacy will continue.
That's one of our catchphrases. So that's an amazing story. So all that led to you getting back involved here in the community and sharing your stories and speaking to young adult groups and such. How do you think your life, everything that we've covered today, and I'm sure there's plenty of other things that we haven't talked about, maybe some stuff that we can't talk about. How did that lead you into mentorship with young men here in Toledo?
You know what? That is something that has been instilled in me for a very, very long time. That is something I thoroughly enjoy. When I was at the University of Tennessee, I used to come home during the summers, my freshman and sophomore years, and do Terry Crosby basketball clinics over at Nathan Hale Elementary.
Awesome.
And how that worked out at the time, the young ones would come in the morning for a couple hours, and every day, Monday to Friday. We were off at the weekends. And then when they got finished, we broke up for lunch for about an hour, and then the adults would come in, you know, the older guys, and then we would all play from like 1 to 3. So that's, you know, speaking to young people, trying to encourage young people, trying to inspire not just young people, but any and everybody that I encounter.
That'll listen, yeah.
You know, because I have adults that call me right now and just want to talk, you know what I mean? Because they know the goodness in my heart, and they know that I'm going to further encourage them to believe in themselves and whatever endeavors that they're, you know, trying to seek or follow. So that has kind of always been instilled in me. My father was a great community leader, Leon Dale Crosby. He worked as he was a superintendent at Unicas. It was a steel factory back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And so a lot of thinking about others before you think about self comes from both my parents, okay? So I was the only child growing up in the West Side. Both my parents had very good jobs back at the time. In fact, we were the second African-American family that was able to move in that neighborhood back in 1964. So the Crosby household was kind of always the flop house, you know, because both my parents had very good jobs, and they were very kind and forthcoming in regards to helping other people. So, you know, all of my friends would just come over to my house, and she would feed whole neighborhoods.
Wow.
You know, big pots of great home-cooked food on the stove, you know. And I have a funny joke to tell. One time we were all together over my mom's, and we were eating really good food, and I think at the time she fried some chicken. We had greens, we had macaroni and cheese. We had candy yams, cornbread, homemade cornbread, you know, everything that kills you, you know, or work stores killing you. Yeah. And one of my friends, he had like, I don't know, it's like six kids in his family. Mm-hmm. And he was so excited. He absolutely piled his plate up. He had like four pieces of chicken on his plate. Like the vegetables were like spilling off the side of his plate. And to show you how classy my mom was, she was like, son, you don't need to put all that on your plate at once. Don't you see all that food up there? Mm-hmm. It's plenty for everybody. Put some back and then eat what you have. Mm-hmm. And then you can come back six times if you want, because, you know. So it's just those little intrinsic things that I was taught at a very young age. And obviously my mom and dad shared those with our community.
Awesome. So the question of the day, as we're wrapping this up, when you reflect on your career and your life, what do you hope your legacy will be, and how would you want to be remembered both in Toledo and beyond?
You know, I have a little statement, and I just want people to remember me as an inspirational person. Mm-hmm. A motivator, one who cared for others before himself.
Yes.
And that he gave back much more than he ever received.
Awesome. Great answer. we're so thankful to have you here.
It's been a pleasure,
man. A living legacy.
I'm
going to have to get an autograph on some of the pictures we produced today. But we're thankful to have you here to share your story. The book title. We can't leave here without talking about the book title. What is the title of your book?
Okay, let me go. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Do You Have the Balls? ?
By Mr. Terry Crosby. that's an awesome name. Yes. I think you might sell a million just on that alone.
Well, certainly people will pick it up, at least.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, you got to have a good picture.
Oh yeah, I've got 46 pictures throughout it. So if you ever think about writing a book, then know what you're getting yourself into.
You can probably write a book on writing a book.
Yeah, it takes a lot. I don't know. I think there's two words that I like to share with people when producing and writing a book with the help of a publisher. Mm-hmm. That those two words are joy and pain. That's what this experience has given me.
Well, we look forward to sharing that as well. Might have to have you back on just to talk about your book once you get it.
I would love that, man. I love you guys here at WGTE, man. It's light, yeah.
Well, we love you too.
I would like to come back.
And we're so thankful to have you here on the Voices of Legacy here on WGTE, the Voices Around Us initiative. Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy today. Each and every one of you, we appreciate you following us on WGTE.org/legacy and listening to these interviews. And we're so thankful again for our guest today, Mr. Terry Crosby, a Toledo legend that I think he has a good bit of legacy yet for us as we look forward. Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell, III, your host of this program. We want you to go to WGTE.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE, Voices Around Us. WDTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.